The reason people aren't financially free is they don't know what to do and they don't know where to start. I want you to join Joey and I at the Virtual Inner Circle Live, April the 4th through the 6th, as we share with you the exact answers to those questions. We only do this event one time per year. I don't want you to miss out. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter promo code podcast. When you're at this event, you're going to get your investor DNA. You're going to get access to up to 6 different passive income strategies. So you know, leaving this event, exactly what to do, taking our decades of knowledge so that you can start becoming financially free. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter the promo code podcast.
Joseph, what's more important to you, cash now, cash flow, or cash later?
I'm all about the cash flow. Give it to me now.
Well, as we interview one of the real estate gurus, that somebody that has been in the real estate investment space for the last 25 years and is who the real estate investors go to get content, he shares those three things. There's three ways to make money in the real estate space: either cash now, which is a lot of times what wholesalers would refer to, or flippers, and like doing transaction work, right?
To get cash immediately.
Yeah. There's cash flow, which is in the rental game, whether short-term, long-term, and then cash later, which would be kind of the equity
and appreciation.
And appreciation that comes from projects. So
that's right.
I love the way that he was just sharing, just dropping some nuggets on us, giving us some ways to think about this post-COVID environment. That we do need to consider, how do we protect assets? How do we pivot? And how do we profit? I will say that he uses a cuss word on our show. I didn't stop him. I didn't.
Not this time.
I didn't say we don't use the name Ramsey on our show. Right? I mean, that is not okay. But I get what he was after. We gave him a pass. We'll teach him about whole life insurance later, which I'm sure is going to be great. It's going to be an amazing conversation when we spend time with him in Nashville.
But what he did do right, Russ, you cannot forget this. He coined the family economy. I mean, have you thought about that? Like, what is your family's economy?
I love what he was saying, because we've spent a lot of time in the past talking about family banking and the importance of getting each generation, Gen 1, Gen 2, Gen 3, involved
and connected, and like using each other's strengths and weaknesses as a whole.
Well, I love it. I mean, he was talking about how his parents were helping fund deals for him, and how he was helping fund deals for his kids, and how they were all creating cash flow along the way. And through that, eliminating the need for banks. So I love, you know, he had a no debt plan, which again, he loved leverage out of different angles. He's also talking about banking. He's become a banker. He's lending
money.
That's
right.
Can you imagine what Gary's going to see the opportunity when we share infinite banking with him?
Oh, he's going to love it. He's going to love it. Well, but he's going to love it because of the big thing that I think that drives everything about him is freedom. Is that not why we're sitting on this interview with him? We're just like, dude, you're speaking our language.
Right. He definitely is like-minded in many things: real estate, investing, family banking, and
the freedom.
Freedom. I was about to say something else. I'll hold that off, let you listen to it in the interview. Take action. Use this information. Apply it so that you too can be on your path to becoming financially free. Let's jump into the interview with Gary Boomershine.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome into the show, guys. We are in for a treat with Gary Boomershine. Gary, so glad to have you, man.
It's a pleasure. Super, super happy. I know that we had a little bit of a mishap on the technology, and I'm really happy to be here with you guys and hopefully share some really, really good, timely information for all of your loyal followers and stuff that's relevant to our lives as we're kind of maneuvering through this COVID stuff, right?
Well, just kind of like Joey's golf game, I'm assuming it's always going to be better the second hit. So this will be a great opportunity. We've had a chance to interview Gary in the past. Unfortunately, we definitely had a technology glitch. But for those, Gary, who don't know you, haven't followed you, who've been under a rock for the last 25 years and not around real estate and don't know who you are, share a little bit of a background for them.
Yeah, so I run a company called realestateinvestor.com. We're one of the largest marketers, if not the largest marketer, in the real estate niche for real estate investors and real estate agents that are out there actively buying, acquiring properties, mostly full-time, as opposed to the real true passive investor. Been doing that for a long time. My background, I live in California. we sold everything. We were about to leave California from the San Francisco Bay Area, and we're up near Yosemite. I'm about 45 minutes from Yosemite, an amazing place. We're probably going to stay here. I have a 10-acre property, and we're loving it. And not having to deal with any COVID stuff, which is awesome. It's wonderful to breathe real air and all that stuff. But my background, I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. My parents, gosh, multi-generation entrepreneurs. And my dad had a real estate brokerage company, and we had a lot of rental properties. So I was 3 weeks after turning 18. While some people are out there, you know, playing and getting their driver's license, I actually got my real estate license, and I was door knocking and cold calling and also working on fixing the rental properties and paid for college that way.
I want to jump in on that. How valuable, because Joey and I both have, I have four kids, he has five, and we talk about that influence of an entrepreneur parent as being that role model. How valuable do you think that having your dad share those ideas with you at such a young age has impacted your growth?
Well, you know, at the time, being a young person, I felt a little bit like I had to do it, right? It was more by force than choice, to be honest. It's like, this is what you will do. I had an engineer father, Stanford MBA, industrial engineer, during the Korean War type. So it was very disciplinarian. So I really, looking back, I didn't like it at the time. It was probably the most instrumental time of my life of really learning around, you know, being an entrepreneur and not necessarily just being a slave in the system. We are indoctrinated into through from a very early age in our school system, right? I call those indoctrination camps. You know, we didn't even learn how to balance a checkbook in my high school, right? We were learning how to work and make somebody else money and pay taxes, a tax cog. And so I really learned from my family around the concept of a family economy. And it was instrumental. I'm doing that. I've got two daughters, a 17-year-old one and another one who just graduated from college, and they're right in the business. They're learning how to find their passion in terms of what they want to do professionally, and also learning about passive income, because we're going to talk about that today. I think a lot of people focused on some money pot, you know, about like how to get $10 million in my bank account. At the end of the day, Robert Kiyosaki from Rich Dad Poor Dad said it best. It's when our passive income is greater than our living expenses that we're considered wealthy. And after coaching thousands of people in the real estate investor niche, that's what almost all of us get into real estate for, is a financial freedom and a life of freedom. And then they get trapped because they've been indoctrinated, they re-manifest and they get lost. We're going to talk about that today.
But Gary, let me stop you before we keep going on that. I want to go back to the family, the importance of this.
Yeah.
I believe there is someone listening right now who feels the responsibility that they have younger kids, maybe even teenagers, that are looking to them as a role model for their own financial future. And they are feeling the pressure and saying, I am stuck in my finances right now. I'm stuck without this freedom that you're talking about. If I don't take the step right now towards freedom, who are my kids going to learn this from?
Yeah.
What would you say to that person right now?
You know, it is, it's absolutely true. And I got caught into it. My wife and I early on got caught into it as well. I think number one, you got to talk to our kids. If we're not talking to our kids and interacting with them about the basic principles of life, we'll talk about a few of these right now. But the indoctrination camps are, the world is going to be teaching our kids. So for instance, you know, when I was growing up, it was very much like you got to work hard and you got to get the best grades that you can. I think for us in our conversation with my daughters, it's like, in terms of your profession, find something that you're uniquely gifted at, something that you're passionate about, and focus on that, because it doesn't matter what your career is, you know, your profession. If you're passionate and you're uniquely gifted, comes amazing blessing. So I have as an example, a lot of people, let's say a kid is really good at art and they're just absolutely gifted at art. And then in math, you know, they're getting C's and they're not very good. Well, our system tries to, oh, don't focus on the art, you know, focus on the math. And maybe they put all their effort and they maybe get a C plus or a B minus. And I think that it's really fun. I teach my kids, find what you're gifted at and you're passionate about, and you'll find amazing blessing, because then it's not really a job in a profession. So I have a daughter, my oldest daughter loves service. She has this huge heart for service. So we're allowing her to do that. She knows that she probably won't make a ton of money in that arena, but she's using real estate and learning about how to buy rental properties, specifically Airbnb, you know, as a family economy, and how to find those and then how to turn them into rentals and make passive income, because she knows that over the next handful of years, if she has 7 properties, she'll be wealthy and set for life.
Gary, you've used that word family economy a couple of times. I think I know what you're referring to, but I'd love for you to help make it clear for Joey.
Yeah.
I'll be under the bus if you need it.
I think, you know, we're in a new world right now. You know, you look at COVID, if you're in the service industry, there's like, you know, I'm not saying which side you are on this vaccine thing, but, you know, there's mandates, right? And so some people won't even be able to get a job unless they take the jab. And so I think there's an incredible opportunity today to build family economies. So I'll give you an example. My in-laws, they are retired. They're in their 70s. And they really need the passive income. So we joined up with them, and we actually, because I know how to find deals, I do a lot of private lending. And so we partner up together where even on like purchases on a property, we'll actually, you know, they'll utilize some of their capital. We'll actually pay them the income. And so there's an opportunity to figure out, hey, let's put together what we have in terms of our family and how can we leverage, you know, as opposed to just giving everything to somebody else. Another example is, like for instance, Haley, my 22-year-old daughter, she's like, well, gosh, I don't have any money. You know, she's got $25,000 when she started that she saved up from her work. And she said, how do I buy a property if I don't have any credit or money? And I basically, as part of the family economy, it's like, well, Haley, here's the deal. We'll partner. You can take some of that money and piggyback it with us. And we can be part of your help to basically come in with the payment or the down payment. You can actually do some of the rental management, and then we'll actually come up with the split of the profit. And you do that a few times, and then ultimately you'll be off on your own. So I think we have to be a little bit more creative and utilize the resources and the talents that we have. And that's just, you know, that I think that it's kind of going back to where this world was, the United States was, you know, multiple generations ago. And so, you know, that's at least that's what we're doing, and it's working really well.
Well, we talk about this, Gary, on the show a good bit, is the power of family banking, which it sounds like is very similar to what you're talking about, mm-hmm. is the family economy, but not seeing each generation as its own silo that has to deal with their own finances in their own way, but seeing how they actually play together and how it's much stronger when you can do that. Because you're right. The older generation needs the passive income, but they may have significant assets and they have potentially, more time on their hands versus, you know, our generation has ideas and opportunities that maybe that older generation doesn't see. And so we bring those things together. It's just super powerful. So thank you for sharing what you guys are doing on that. Russ, I remember my dad specifically say to me, Joey, you gotta go to college. I don't want you to end up like me. And you know what my dad was saying is, in order for things to change, things have to change. You can't end up just like me.
Well, I think, I mean, we as parents, sometimes we take on the burden thinking about our kids and how we want something better for them. And we want to know, what will their future look like if I don't take action, if I don't do something different?
See, in my house, I'm the role model. You're your kid's role model. And the buck stops with you. It's time to take action. If you're ready to take action, join us at wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/passport. And get started on your own journey to financial freedom.
All right, let's jump back into this episode.
Yeah, let me add a couple other things. And this is for people that are like, oh my gosh, where do I start? And also the fact that, you know, maybe as a parent, you're not perfect. Well, welcome to the world. None of us are perfect. So the first thing is we put one foot in front of us, ourselves. I always tell my daughters, I'm like, girls, if you are building the Golden Gate Bridge, okay, San Francisco and from the Bay Area. So if you're going to build a bridge and it's foggy and you don't see the other side, what you want to do is start laying bricks and make it as straight a line as you can, because you know ultimately you're going to see land on the other side. That's really how we work, because there is a lot of uncertainty. And so that would be number one. Number two is we left an incredible, I call it a bubble. We were in an area called Danville, California, which was an upper, it was pretty wealthy and almost like the Beverly Hills of the San Francisco Bay Area. And the kids are driving BMWs. People are definitely living outside their means. And so my daughters, you know, we're Dave Ramsey followers. We love Dave Ramsey as Financial Peace University. My wife and I, we jumped into the lie. I had the lease cars and the BMWs, and I look back and my wife and I are like, look how much money has slipped through our fingers. It wasn't until we got into our 40s where it was like, boom, 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 you know, to live like nobody else, you have to live like nobody else. So for instance, we don't do debt. Now, we had a lot of debt, but we worked to chip it off over a period of time. You have to start somewhere. My daughters, you know, all their friends are dressing up in brand name stuff, paying $150 for jeans. Well, my daughter comes home and she went to the thrift store. By the way, the thrift stores in high upper class areas are pretty awesome. So she goes, Dad, look what I got. For $3, she came back with a pair of $150 jeans that looked amazing on her. She got them for $3, and I don't think they were ever worn. And so, again, to live like nobody else, you have to live like nobody else. You know, we are a debt-free family. We buy cars. Like, my car payment since 2013, and by the way, if we were billionaires, which we aren't, if we were billionaires, we would live about the same way that we live today. We have a family plan. So we come back and we're like, what is our family plan? And the kids are involved in it. And even like we all came together, we were living and, you know, going through COVID. We don't really play the COVID game. I'll just put that out there. We don't play it. I don't wear a mask. I won't wear a mask. And I, God bless people that do, but I don't. I'm in California where you're required and I haven't worn a mask one day. So we came together and said, hey, let's get out of communism. Now you know how I feel about it. And we came together and we said, hey guys, we still have debt on our primary mortgage. We have rental properties. Let's expedite the splat because we are looking at where the market's going to go as one of the biggest transfers of wealth. And we're like, let's fast path our plan. So we said, let's get out of California. And we literally have we did this over a couple months, a lot of fun. My daughters are involved. We do a family plan where we said, where do we where do we want to be? Like, what's the environment that we want to be? And what are some potential locations? We thought about Nashville, Idaho, Florida, and literally we sold everything. People were like, what are you doing? Where are you going? We're like, we had no idea. I rented a 8,000 square foot house, Airbnb, on the super cheap up near Yosemite, up in an area called Sonora, Twainhart. And I said, let's rent it. We sold everything. We gave everything away. We literally took 3,000 square foot house and our entire life. Here's the family economy. I told Ashley or Haley, I said, why don't you sell or give everything away, keep the money? So she made like 3,000 bucks by, you know, having people on Facebook Marketplace and other places come over and grab our stuff. We put it into a small container, loaded up our four cars and head for the hills. And I gotta tell you, it's the best blessing ever. 2 hours after we left in December is when they had the mandatory curfew lockdown. And it felt like the Sound of Music when they're heading like to you the guys hills.
You're running up the hills.
So at the end of the day, for all of us, most of us, big picture, all the entrepreneurs that I know, we're looking for financial freedom and we're looking for freedom of time. Time is the most valuable commodity. It is not the money. And you have to live like nobody else. You have to live like nobody else. And so what we do is we say, hey, where do we want to be personally? And then the business and the financials come next. Where do we want to be? And how do we want to live? And how much money do we actually, need to do that? It's really not a lot. So most people on this call are probably between 10 and 25,000 a month in passive income to do whatever they want. It's not the 10 million. So you focus on that. And even in my book that is just about to be released called The Freedom Code, it's really about this. And we can go as much detail. I love real estate. I love your show because it's like wealth without Wall Street. I hate Wall Street. I came from real estate. I'm a computer engineer. I worked for one of the largest consulting technology companies in the world called Accenture, Anderson Consulting, right out of college. And then I did four Silicon Valley startups. One that went public, cover of Fortune magazine. I was employee 12. On paper, I was worth millions. And then the stock crashed in the dot-com thing. So what I hate Wall Street. Why? Because it's fake. It's make-believe. Real estate, it's everywhere, right? I can value it because usually I can say, oh, this property generates this kind of income and it's worth this number of dollars as is. Wall Street, they mark it up, right? These price-to-earning ratios. It's like, oh, you have a value of $1 million for a business, and then they'll say it's worth $100 million or $137 million, like Tesla, as an example. And it's a game. I call it organized gambling. So I hate to gamble. I don't like poker. I don't like where I hate losing money. So real estate is, it's everywhere. It's just like Warren Buffett says, real estate investor is somebody that usually has money. They buy a physical asset class that happens to be real estate, and then they hold it forever. And there's a acronym called IDEAL of the things that they get out of it. I won't go into all of that, but there's three buckets that I'm looking at in terms of everything I do. I'm looking for cash now, cash flow, and cash later. So cash now is typically, I do some work and then I make some money. That's typically like wholesaling or rehabbing a property. I buy a property, I fix it up, and I sell it. I do work and I get one-time payment. That's really a job. So right. A lot of us real estate investors are not real. That's not really truly real estate investing. That's a real estate business operator. Cash flow is rental income on leverage and also lending. I love private lending, especially in this market, doing it right. And then cash later is on appreciation and then somebody else paying the mortgage down. So equity buildup. So when I'm looking at real estate, I'm always looking at it from, what am I going to do? What buckets do I need to fill? And then secondly, I do what I call keep the best, sell the rest. So I'm looking at what do I want to ultimately hold and generate passive income and long-term wealth, and then everything else I'll turn and flip for a quick, you know, profit. That's how I look at it. And very focused on the passive income and the fundamentals. And we're in a kind of a funky market right now. So I'm also telling everybody to be very careful. This is a euphoric stage of real estate. And a lot of people think that this is the new normal. And from my perspective, it's not.
Well, and that's what I was about to go into. I think the why now, right? Why is this important now? And I think you just started to touch on it. By the way, if you're not watching this live, you're missing basically Gary is acting as Jack Hanna's new Mutual of Omaha. He's got a whole like drove of turkeys behind him here. I'm looking at that, thinking of my dad. He would have like had to stop the podcast, turned around, and shoot them before to do that. Actually, I called it a drove. That's what he called it. I think there's another term for a collective of turkeys, and I'm forgetting the name of it, but that's not important. What is important is going back to why is this important now? Like, why do you believe it's so important for someone to learn? I think pressed record, we were talking about the quote unquote post-COVID opportunity. What exists? What do you think exists out there, and why should people be taking action, and what should they do?
Yeah. So I get a lot of people ask, a lot of people know me in my industry as kind of the Peter Schiff of the real estate investor world. I'm more of a doom and gloom guy and also very optimistic. So let me see if I can explain. I have no crystal ball, but real estate has been a 7-year cycle for well over 100 years. It's been a 7-year cycle. It's actually to the day, to the Shemitah, which is the Jewish calendar, if you really go back and look at those cycles. Very interesting. And I'm a faith-based guy, so I kind of look at these patterns. It's been a 7-year cycle, and this is the longest cycle that we've ever had. I think we're now at year 13. So I look at history as a great predictor of the future. And the change in the market, these market turns, so real estate is, you know, there's the bottom of the market, like 2009, right? Or right after 9/11, seven years before that, and you just go right back. But there's the bottom of the market, and then there's the top of the market. And I'm seeing a lot of very similar characteristics that we saw. A lot of us are seeing, you know, it's euphoria. You know, when the barber and the hair salon and the person that does the nails and the grocery person at the market is talking about real estate and wanting to get in, you know that we're pretty much at the peak of the market. So I think from my perspective, and there's other things going on, they're printing money at unprecedented amounts, right? Even before COVID, we couldn't even pay the debt on the interest, you know, coming in May of last year. So this is completely spun out of control. I think we're going to see massive inflation. So here's what I'm doing right now, and here's what I'm coaching everybody, that we're going to probably see a fairly big correction like we have. It always comes. I've called it. I've been on my podcast for the last 4 years. I've talked about these market corrections, and it has always been a boogeyman event. So we had 9/11. We had boogeyman event. You can think of it as however you want. It's an artificial event. It's not just natural supply and demand. And so the oil embargo, the Vietnam War, you just go back to different states. Well, this one now is called COVID. So there's going to be a point in time that I think we're going to see a massive impact, especially to the coastal areas like California, these markets that have gone up ungodly. And I think there's going to be a market turn where we're going to see a huge supply back on the market, which is going to wipe out a lot of people that cannot sustain for a period of 12 to 18 months, followed by massive appreciation or inflation. I think properties, if people can hold properties, physical assets, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years down the road, a $300,000 property, I personally think will be, you know, 2 or 3 million, if not more. So the middle class gets wiped out, And then you really truly have the poor and the wealthy. So I'm encouraging everybody to be watchful now. Be very, you know, this is a time to protect what you have, get ready to pivot, and then profit. So where I'm investing, I like free and clear assets. So if you can actually have part of your portfolio free and clear, debt free, and then I love first position mortgages where I'm a private lender. So I'm funding a lot of really conservative loans, just like I'm Bank of America, Wells Fargo, except it's the bank of Gary Boomershine, on properties that have a huge amount of equity.
When you say a huge amount, what percentage would that be?
Well, I'll give you an example. I funded a $347,000 first position loan.
Okay.
Nobody in front of me, where the borrower, the buyer of the property, put $500,000 down. Now, I'm getting 8.5% interest, and I'm happy with that. Go, you show me any other asset class that actually has the, my worst case scenario is I'd have to foreclose on a property at 347 that was purchased for 850,000, right?
Yeah.
I'm doing a lot of those conservative, it's a little bit harder to find, but I'm typically, and I work with brokers, hard money brokers that are finding these deals, because a lot of people will get a 12% or a 10% interest rate. But for a little bit lower interest, I'm getting a much better product, which might, you know, it's a hedge against inflation or a downturn, because my biggest risk is I acquire the property, but my upside, and I'm also getting 8.5% and in some cases 9.5% in California. Go ahead.
Gary, you said that you are being brought these deals by brokers. So if I'm interested in getting into this world, how do I go about finding brokers to bring me deals like the ones that you're talking about?
Yeah. In fact, if I'm planning to come to Nashville at your event that you guys are going to be having, this would be a great topic for me to share with the group, because it's not something in 2 minutes. Here's what I typically do. There's hard money brokers. Private money brokers are everywhere. And they're not usually large companies. There's usually individual, local. And so I'll call them and build relationships and say, hey, I'm a private investor. I have some money to lend and wanted to know, Mr. Broker, if you needed any more to lend. And usually they immediately say, hey, we'd like to take you out to lunch. Because, right? So because I have the money. And then I'll come in and I'll ask them about their what kind of deals that they're doing. And then I'll ask them, by the way, do you ever find things that are a little bit more conservative? Because I would be interested in a little bit more conservative. I call it a product. It is a product. Mm-hmm. That's what even banks, right? I'm looking for, you know, something a little bit more conservative on the loan to value ratio. And I'm willing to go in a lower interest rate. See, hard money brokers, private money brokers, they make their money. They use other people like me, our money, and then they charge points and servicing fees and then what are called junk fees. So they make a lot of money by working with the borrowers and doing all the paperwork. And then, right. You know, for me to do a deal is probably about 45 minutes. I go online, I see if there's a real property there, you know, on Google. I'll go out and look on Zillow and usually drive by. The brokers usually drive by and they're trusted. So I work with about 3 or 4 trusted brokers that I have for, you know, 10 years, and they're bringing me properties all the time. And then I also, in some cases, I work with our family money. My mom, who loves to get a return, her accountant says that I give her best return. And they piggyback, and sometimes I get a bit of a spread on their money. So they get 6%, and I might, you know, the loan brings in 8.5%, so I'm getting a 2.5% spread. Again, real estate is nothing more than a finance game and a game of leverage. So once you right. understand it, right, and so hopefully that answered your question.
No, this is great. And I do think we need to have a part two to this podcast, because we haven't even gotten into all the things that you're going to be sharing in your book. I know we were a second ago, we were talking about the book that's coming up, The Freedom Code. And I don't want to just make you give a 30-second rendition of it, because I don't think it'd be fair to you nor the person listening. So I have to come back and have you back on the show. Gary was mentioning a second ago that there are we have a select group of people that are going to be a part of a small event that we're going to be having in Nashville. We'll come back and we'll talk about some of the conversations that were had there. I know that you will want to hear from that. And Gary, I hope that you're going to take part in the community, because I think there's, in addition to what you have content that you shared here on your book, I know that your website, realestateinvestor.com, has so much for people that could help them. I just hope that you'll come back and participate. Can I get you to agree to do that a third time, since the first time we didn't technically get to share it with everybody?
Absolutely. I'll make it even better. I will give a special gift to everybody who has an interest. It's been on my bucket list for a decade. I've had so many people that have said, Gary, you have to share this to people. And so I'm finally releasing the book. It's called The Freedom Code. I'll give everybody who wants a free copy of it. And I also have, right the weekend that COVID started, they were shutting everything down. I was speaking in front of 400 people on a topic. I was the last speaker for an hour and a half, and I presented how to build a business that works for you. And part of it is you got to get super clear on the why and the what, not the how. A lot of people get into real estate, they're focused on how do I rehab? How do I buy an Airbnb? You got to stand back and first focus on why and what, and get really clear on what it is, because it's very easy to get lost. So I give a presentation, all kinds of tools. And then if you are an active investor, you might actually even find realestateinvestor.com. We're the largest marketer. We got all kinds of services and stuff. So if I'll give you a text, a phone number to text. Just put Wall Street in the message so we know to give the book out when it comes out in a handful of weeks. But I'll give you the phone number, and then you can put it in the show notes. Anybody can text 925-320-0575. 925-320-0575. Just put Wall Street in the text message, and then you'll get within a couple of minutes, you'll get a link with a bunch of free gifts that I put together, because people, I've made so many mistakes over the last 17 years doing this and trying to break free of the bondage. And I love sharing, and you know, if this helps any of you, anything, I'd love to hear it on Facebook or send us a personal note. We'd love that. So,
And by the way, just because I'm such a contrarian, there's no way I could type the word Wall Street without putting the word without in front of it.
Yeah.
So if you want to text Wall Street, you can, but I hope you text Gary without Wall Street. And that's 925-320-0575. What a great offer to give a free copy of your new book, The Freedom Code. Thank you so much, Gary, for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure for Joey and I to just sit here and listen, and look forward to spending some time with you one-on-one in Nashville.
Yeah, it'll be great. Well, God bless you. God bless all of you that are participating today. And, you know, let's go out and make a difference and do it without Wall Street.
That's right.
All right.
As always, thank you for listening and have a great day.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand, so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.